And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be for a sign of a covenant between me and you. Ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, signifies the removal of the love of self and of the world. And it shall be for a sign of a covenant between me and you, signifies a representative and significative of purity. Ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, that this signifies the removal of the love of self and of the world, is evident from the representation and signification of circumcision as being purification from filthy loves, explained above, number 2039, and from the signification of flesh as being what is man's proprium, treated of before, number 999. Man's proprium is nothing but the love of self and of the world, consequently every cupidity originating in them. And how filthy this is has been shown in part first, number 141, 150, 154, 210, 215, 694, 731, 874 to 876, 987, 1047. As this proprium which is to be removed is signified, it is called the flesh of the foreskin. There are two so-called loves and their cupidities that obstruct the influx of celestial love from the Lord. And when these loves reign in the interior and in the external man and take possession thereof, they either reject or suffocate and also pervert and contaminate the inflowing celestial love. For they are utterly contrary to celestial love, as will of the Lord's divine mercy be shown hereafter. But in so far as these loves are removed, so far the celestial love flowing in from the Lord begins to appear, nay, to give light to the interior man. And so far he begins to see that he is an evil and falsity, next, that he is actually in uncleanness and filthiness, and finally that this was his proprium. Those who are becoming regenerate are those with whom these loves are being removed. Observation of this removal is possible also with the unregenerate, for when the cupidities of these loves are quiescent in them, as sometimes occurs when they are in holy meditation, or when the cupidities are laid asleep, as happens when they are in misfortunes, in sicknesses and diseases, and especially at the moment of death, then, because bodily and worldly things are laid asleep and, as it were, dead, they observe something of celestial light and the consequent comfort. But with these persons there is no removal of the cupidities in question, but only a lulling of them to sleep. For when they return into their former state, they at once relapse into the same cupidities. With the evil also, bodily and worldly things can be lulled, and they can then be, as it were, uplifted into something celestial, as sometimes takes place with souls in the other life, especially those newly arrived, who intensely desire to see the glory of the Lord, because they had heard so much about heaven while they lived in the world. The external things above referred to are then laid asleep in them, and in this way they are carried into the first heaven and enjoy their desire. But they cannot remain long, because there is only a quiescence of the bodily and worldly things, and not a removal of them, as with the angels. Concerning which, see number 541, 542. It should be known that celestial love is continually inflowing into man from the Lord, and that nothing else obstructs and impedes it, and incapacitates man for its reception, but the cupidities of those loves and the falsities derived from them. 2042. And it shall be for a sign of a covenant between me and you, that this signifies a representative and significative of purity, is evident from what has been shown just above, number 2039, namely, that circumcision was nothing but a representative of purification from filthy loves. And as it was only an external rite which represented and signified something internal, it was not a covenant, but a sign of a covenant. 2043, verse 12. And a son of 8 days shall be circumcised unto you, every male in your generations, he that is born in the house, and he that is bought with silver from every son that is a stranger who is not of thy seed. A son of 8 days signifies any beginning of purification whatever. Shall be circumcised unto you, signifies the purification. Every male signifies those who are in the truth of faith. In your generations signifies the things which are of faith. He that is born in the house signifies those who are celestial. He that is bought with silver signifies those who are spiritual, who are within the church. From every son that is a stranger who is not of thy seed signifies those who are outside the church. 2044. And a son of 8 days. That this signifies any beginning of purification whatever is evident from the signification of the 8th day. A week, which is 7 days, signifies an entire period of any state or time, as of reformation, of regeneration, of temptation, whether of man in particular or of the church in general. Thus a period is called a week, whether it be one of 1,000 years, of 100, of 10, or of as many days, hours, minutes, and so on, as may be seen from the passages cited in Part First, number 728. And as the 8th day is the first day of a new week, it signifies any beginning whatever. This shows also that, as circumcision was itself a representative of purification, so also was the time of it, namely, the 8th day. Not that they then entered into a purer state, and were purified on that account, but for the reason that as circumcision signified purification, so the 8th day signified that this ought to be effected at all times, and thus always as from a new beginning. 2045. Shall be circumcised unto you. That this signifies purification is evident from the representation and signification of circumcision as being a purification from filthy loves, explained above, number 2039. Those who are in the loves of self and of the world cannot possibly believe that they are in things so filthy and unclean as they actually are in. For there is a certain pleasure and delight that soothes, favors, and allures, and causes them to love that life, to prefer it to all other life, and thereby to suppose that there is nothing of evil in it. For whatever favors anyone's love and the life thence derived is believed to be good. Hence also the rational consents, and suggests falsities which confirm and cause such blindness that they see nothing of the nature of celestial love. And if they were to see it, they would say in their hearts that it is a wretched affair, or a thing of naught, or something of the nature of a fantasy that takes hold of the mind as in sickness. But that the life of the love of self and of the world, together with its pleasures and delights, is filthy and unclean, may be seen by everyone who is willing to think from the rational faculty with which he is endowed. The love of self is the source of all the evils that destroy civic society. From it, as from an unclean pit, spring all hatreds, all revenges, all cruelties, indeed all adulteries. For he who loves himself despises, vituperates, or hates all others who do not serve him, or do him honor, or favor him. And when he hates, he breeds nothing but revenges and cruelties, and this in proportion to the degree in which he loves himself, so that this love is destructive of society and of the human race. That such is its nature may be seen also from what is said of it in Part First, Number 693, 694, 760, 1307, 1308, 1321, 1506, 1594, 1691, 1862. That in the other life the love of self is most filthy, and that it is diametrically opposite to the mutual love in which heaven consists, shall of the Lord's divine mercy be told in what follows. And as the love of self is the source of hatreds, revenges, cruelties, and adulteries, it is the source of all things that are called sins, wickednesses, abominations, and profanations. And therefore, when this love is in the rational part of man, and is in the cupidities and fantasies of his external man, the influx of celestial love from the Lord is continually repelled, perverted, and contaminated. It is like foul excrement, which dissipates, nay, defiles, all sweet odor. It is like an object that turns the continually inflowing rays of light into dark and repulsive colors. It is like a tiger or a serpent, which repels all fondling, and kills with bite and poison those who offer it food. Or like a vicious man, who turns even the best intentions of others and their very kindnesses into what is blameworthy and malicious. Hence it is evident that these loves, of self and of the world, are what are represented and signified by the foreskins that were to be cut off. Every male. That this signifies those who are in the truth of faith is evident from the signification of a male as being truth, concerning which, see number 672, 749. The male, by which is signified the truth of faith, is named here because no one can be purified from those filthy loves except one who is in truth. From truth he recognizes what is pure and what is impure, and what is holy and what profane. Before he has learned this, there are no mediums into which and through which the celestial love continually flowing in from the Lord can operate, as this cannot be received except in truths. And therefore man is reformed and regenerated by means of the cognitions of truth, and this not until he has been imbued with them. Conscience itself is formed by means of the truths of faith. For the conscience with which the regenerate man is endowed is a conscience of what is true and right. See number 977, 986 at the end, 1033, 1076, 1077. This also is the reason why knives of stone, or swords of flint, as they are called, were employed in circumcising. That these signify truths may be seen above, number 2039 at the end. Throughout your generations. That this signifies the things which are of faith is evident from the signification of generations and of births as being the things that are of faith. See number 613, 1145, 1255, 2020, 2035. 2048. That he that is born in the house signifies those who are celestial, and that he that is bought with silver signifies those who are spiritual, and that they thus signify those who are within the church, is evident from the signification of one born in the house as being those who are within the house. A house in the word signifies what is celestial, because this is the inmost. Whence by the house of God, in a universal sense, is signified the Lord's kingdom. In a sense less universal, his church. And in a particular sense, the man himself, in whom there is the Lord's kingdom or church. When man is called a house, the celestial of faith in him is signified. And when he is called a temple, the truth of faith in him is signified. Thus here, by one born in the house, those who are celestial are signified. But that he that is bought with silver signifies those who are spiritual, is evident from the signification of silver as being truth, thus the spiritual of faith. See part first, number 1551. Those are called celestial who are in love to the Lord. And as the most ancient church, which was before the flood, was in this love, it was a celestial church. Those are called spiritual who are in love towards the neighbor, and thereby in the truth of faith, as was the ancient church which was after the flood. The distinction between the celestial and the spiritual has been treated of many times in part first. Everyone can see that there are celestial arcana in what is here said, namely, that those born in the house were to be circumcised, and those bought with silver, and also the sons that were strangers, and also from their being repeatedly mentioned, as in verses 13, 23, and 27, which follow, which arcana do not appear except from the internal sense, which shows that by those born in the house and those bought with silver are signified the celestial and the spiritual, thus those who are within the church. And that by a son that is a stranger who is not of thy seed are signified those who are outside the church. 2049. From every son that is a stranger who is not of thy seed. That this signifies those who are outside the church is evident from the signification of son that is a stranger as being those who are not born within the church, thus are not in the goods and truths of faith, because not in the cognitions of them. Sons that are strangers also signify those who are in external worship, concerning whom, number 1097, but where this is the meaning, those who are within the church are treated of. Whereas in the passage before us, the Lord's church universally is treated of, and therefore sons that are strangers signify those who are not born within the church, as is the case with the Gentiles. Gentiles who are outside the church may be in truths, but not in the truths of faith. Their truths, like the precepts of the Decalogue, are that parents are to be honored, that men are not to kill, steal, commit adultery, or covet things that belong to others, also that the deity is to be worshipped. But the truths of faith are all doctrinal things concerning eternal life, the Lord's kingdom, and the Lord himself, which cannot be known to the Gentiles because they have not the word. These are those who are signified by sons that are strangers who are not of thy seed, and yet were to be circumcised, that is, purified together with them. This shows that they can be purified equally with those within the church, as was represented by their being circumcised. They are purified when they reject filthy loves and live with one another in charity, For them they live in truths, since all truths are of charity, but in the truths already mentioned. Those who live in these truths readily imbibe the truths of faith, if not in the life of the body, yet in the other life, because the truths of faith are the interior truths of charity, and they then love nothing more than to be admitted into the interior truths of charity. The interior truths of charity are those of which the Lord's kingdom consists. See number 932, 1032, 1059, 1327, 1328, 1366. In the other life, a science of the cognitions of faith is of no avail, for the worst, nay, the infernals, can be in the science of them, sometimes more than others. But that which avails is a life according to the cognitions, for all cognitions have life as their end. Unless cognitions were learned for the sake of life, they would be of no use except that men might talk about them, and thereby be esteemed learned in the world, be exalted to honors, and gain reputation and wealth. From this it is evident that a life of the cognitions of faith is no other than a life of charity. For the law and the prophets, that is, the entire doctrine of faith together with all its cognitions, consists in love to the Lord and in love towards the neighbor, as is manifest to all from the Lord's words in Matthew 22, verses 34 to 39, and Mark 12, verses 28 to 35. Nevertheless, doctrinal things, that is, the cognitions of faith, are most necessary for forming the life of charity, which cannot be formed without them. This is the life that saves after death, and not any life of faith without charity, for without charity there cannot be any life of faith. Those who are in the life of love and charity are in the Lord's life, and by no other life can any one be conjoined with him. Hence also it is evident that the truths of faith can never be acknowledged as truths, that is, the acknowledgement of them so much talked of is impossible except outwardly and by the mouth, unless they are implanted in charity. For inwardly or in the heart they are denied, since, as already said, they all have charity as their end, and if this is not within them, they are inwardly rejected. When the exteriors are taken away, as is done in the other life, the interiors are manifest in their true character, namely, that they are utterly contrary to all the truths of faith. When men have had no life of charity, that is, no mutual love, during their bodily life, it is utterly impossible to receive it in the other life, because they are averse to and hate it. For after death, the same life remains with us that we have lived here. When such persons merely approach a society where there is the life of mutual love, they tremble, shudder, and feel torture. Such persons, although born within the church, are called sons that are strangers, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, who are not to be admitted into the sanctuary, that is, into the Lord's kingdom, and who are also meant in Ezekiel. No son that is a stranger, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary. 44, verses 7 and 9. Again, to whom art thou thus become like in glory and in greatness among the trees of Eden? And thou shalt be brought down with the trees of Eden into the lower land. Thou shalt lie in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that are slain by the sword. 31, verse 18. Here Pharaoh is treated of, by whom are signified sciences in general. Number 1164, 1165, 1186, 1462. By the trees of Eden, with which they should go down into the lower land, are also signified sciences, but those of the cognitions of faith. All this shows what the uncircumcised denotes in the internal sense, namely, one who is in filthy loves and the life of them. 2050, verse 13. Circumcising, he shall be circumcised that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy silver. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an eternal covenant. Circumcising, he shall be circumcised, signifies that they must wholly remove from themselves the loves of self and of the world. That is born in thy house, and that is bought with thy silver, signifies those within the church of both kinds. And my covenant shall be in your flesh, signifies the conjunction of the Lord with man in his impurity, and also a significative rite. For an eternal covenant signifies conjunction. 2051. Circumcising, he shall be circumcised. That this signifies that they must wholly remove from themselves the loves of self and of the world. That is, that they must do this who are within the church, and who are signified by him that is born in the house, and by him that is bought with silver, is evident from the representation of circumcision as being purification from the loves of self and of the world. See above, number 2039. It is here repeated that they are to be circumcised, and it is said, circumcising, he shall be circumcised, by which is expressed the necessity, that is, for their being wholly purified from those loves. And as those who are within the church are signified, the sons that are strangers are not mentioned here, because by them, as shown above, number 2049, are signified those who are outside the church. From the repetition of what was said in the preceding verse concerning those born in the house and those bought with silver, everyone can see that there is a divine arcanum which is not seen from the sense of the letter. The arcanum is that purification from those filthy loves is necessary most of all within the church, and this for the reason that those who are within the church are able to render holy things themselves impure, which those who are outside the church, that is, the Gentiles, cannot do, so that the danger of damnation is greater in the case of the former. Moreover, those who are within the church are able to form principles of falsity contrary to the very truths of faith, and to become imbued with them, whereas those who are outside the church cannot do this because they are ignorant of these truths. Thus the former can profane holy truths, but not the latter, concerning which more may be seen in part first, number 1059, 1327, 1328. 2052. That is born in thy house, and that is bought with thy silver. That this signifies those who are within the church of both kinds, that is, the celestial meant by him that is born in the house, and the spiritual meant by him that is bought with silver, was shown above, number 2048. 2053. My covenant shall be in your flesh. That this signifies the conjunction of the Lord with man in his impurity is evident from the signification of a covenant as being conjunction, explained above, and from the signification of flesh as being what is man's proprium, also explained above, number 2041. How impure man's proprium is was also stated there, and was shown in part first, number 141, 150, 154, 210, 215, 694, 731, 874 to 876, 987, 1047. As regards the words, "My covenant in your flesh," denoting the conjunction of the Lord with man in his impurity, the case is this. With man there is no pure intellectual truth, that is, divine truth. For the truths of faith pertaining to man are appearances of truth, to which fallacies of the senses adjoin themselves. And to these the falsities that belong to the cupidities of the love of self and of the world. Such are the truths pertaining to man. How impure these are may be seen from the fact that such things are adjoined to them. But still the Lord conjoins himself with man in these impure truths, for he animates and vivifies them with innocence and charity, and thereby forms conscience. The truths of conscience are various, that is, they are according to each person's religion. And to these truths, provided they are not contrary to the goods of faith, the Lord will not do violence, because the man has been imbued with them, and has regarded them as holy. The Lord breaks no one, but bends him, as may be seen from the fact that in every dogma within the church there are some who are being endowed with conscience, which conscience is a better one in proportion as its truths approach more closely to the genuine truths of faith. As conscience is formed from truths of faith of this kind, it is evident that it has been formed in the intellectual part of man, for it is the intellectual part that receives these truths, and therefore the Lord has miraculously separated this part from the will part, an arcanum not previously known, and concerning which see part first, number 863, 875, 895, 927, 1023. That a covenant in your flesh also denotes what is significative, namely of purification, is evident from what has been shown in respect to circumcision in number 2054. For an eternal covenant. That this signifies conjunction is evident from the signification of a covenant as being conjunction, explained before. As those are here treated of who are within the church, the covenant is again spoken of, and here it is called an eternal covenant, both because it is most especially necessary for those within the church to be circumcised, that is, purified from the loves of self and of the world, as shown above, number 2051, and also because with them there is the nearest conjunction of the Lord and his heaven, since this is effected by means of the goods and truths of faith. There is indeed a conjunction with those also who are outside the church, but a more remote one, because they are not in the goods and truths of faith, as before said, number 2049. The church in the Lord's kingdom may be compared to the heart and lungs in man. Man's interior things are conjoined with his external things by means of the heart and lungs, and from these live all the surrounding viscera. Such also is the case with the human race. The conjunction of the Lord and his heaven is nearest with the church, but more remote with those who are outside the church, who may be compared to the organs that live by means of the heart and lungs. The celestial are like the heart, and the spiritual are like the lungs. Because of the necessity for the purification of both of these, those who are within the church are here treated of specifically, and the covenant is stated twice. 2055, verse 14. And the uncircumcised male, who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that soul shall be cut off from his peoples. He hath made vain my covenant. The uncircumcised male signifies one who is not in the truth of faith, who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, signifies who is in the love of self and of the world. That soul shall be cut off from his peoples, signifies eternal death. He hath made vain my covenant, signifies that he cannot be conjoined. 2056. And the uncircumcised male. That this signifies one who is not in the truth of faith is evident from the signification of a male as being the truth of faith. See above, number 2046. The uncircumcised male therefore here signifies one who is not in the truth of faith, and who is consequently in what is false. That is said to be uncircumcised which obstructs and defiles, as before said. When said of the male, it is that which obstructs and defiles truth. And in like manner, when it is said of any other subject, it signifies the darkening and contamination of that subject. Thus, an uncircumcised ear is mentioned in Jeremiah. Upon whom shall I speak and testify, and they will hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of Yahuwah is become unto them a reproach. They do not desire it. 6, verse 10. Their ear being uncircumcised means that there was no hearkening, and that the word was a reproach unto them. Moreover, the verse before us treats of those who are within the church, and who are not only in falsity, but also in the impurity of the loves of self and of the world. For these things are said in continuation of what was said before. It is therefore said, the uncircumcised male, who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And thus the meaning is falsity conjoined with impurity of life. How great a danger of eternal damnation these are incurring may be seen from what was said above, number 2051. These words especially signify those within the church who profane the goods and truths of faith, of whom it is said, that soul shall be cut off from his peoples, for these can commit profanation, but not those who are outside the church, as has been shown in part first, number 593, 1008, 1010, 1059. 2057. Who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That this signifies those who are in the love of self is evident from what was said above in regard to the signification of being circumcised and of the foreskin, number 2039, 2049 at the end. Also as to the signification of flesh, number 2041. The flesh of the foreskin here signifies the love of self. Those within the church who are in falsity and at the same time are in the love of self more especially profane holy things, but not so much those who are in any other love whatever, for the love of self is the most foul of all loves, because it is destructive of society and thus of the human race, as before shown, number 2045. That it is also diametrically opposed to mutual love in which heaven consists, and thus is destructive of celestial order itself, may be seen from the evil spirits and genii in the other life, and also from the hells, in which nothing reigns but the love of self. And because the love of self reigns there, so do all kinds of hatreds, revenges, and cruelties, because these are derived from it. Mutual love in heaven consists in this, that they love the neighbor more than themselves, the effect of which is that the whole heaven represents, as it were, one man. For by means of mutual love, all are thus consociated by the Lord, and hence it is that the felicities of all are communicated to each one, and those of each one to all. Consequently, the celestial form is such that every one is, as it were, a kind of center, thus a center of communications, and consequently of felicities from all. And this in accordance with all the differences of mutual love, which are innumerable. And because those who are in that love perceive the highest happiness in being able to communicate to others that which flows into them, and this from the heart, the communication becomes perpetual and eternal. And on this account, as the Lord's kingdom increases, so the happiness of each angel increases. As the angels are in distinct societies and abodes, they do not think of this. But the Lord thus disposes all things both in general and in particular. Such is the kingdom of the Lord in the heavens. Nothing endeavors to destroy this form and this order but the love of self. And therefore all in the other life who are in the love of self are more deeply infernal than others. For the love of self communicates nothing to others, but extinguishes and suffocates their delights and felicities. Whatever delight flows into them from others, they take to themselves, concentrate it within themselves, turn it into the filthiness of self, prevent its going any further, and thus destroy all that tends to unanimity and consociation. From this comes disunion, and, consequently, destruction. And as every such person desires to be served, courted, and adored by others, and loves no one but himself, hence comes dissociation, which tends to put itself forth in lamentable states, so that they perceive nothing to be more delightful than to torture others in direful modes and by fantasies, from hatred, revenge, and cruelty. When such persons come to any society where mutual love resides, they are cast down of their own accord, like impure and dead weights in a pure and living aura, because all the influent delight is terminated in themselves. And because they exhale a foul idea of self, their delight is there turned into a cadaverous stench, by which they are made sensible of the hell of self, besides being seized with terrible anguish. From this we can see that it is the nature of the love of self to be destructive, not only of the human race, as shown above, number 2045, but also of celestial order, and thus that there is nothing in it but impurity, filthiness, profaneness, and hell itself, however little this may appear to those who are in it. Those are in the love of self who despise others in comparison with themselves, and hate those who do not favor, serve, and pay a kind of worship to them, and who find a cruel delight in revenge and in depriving others of honor, reputation, wealth, and life. Those who are in the love of self are in these evils, and those who are in these evils may know that they are in the love of self. 2058. That soul shall be cut off from his peoples. That this signifies eternal death is evident from the signification of soul as being life. Number 1000, 1040, 1742. And from the signification of peoples as being truths. See number 1259, 1260. Thus peoples are those who live in truths, that is, angels. And for a soul to be cut off from these is to be damned, or to perish in eternal death. 2059. He hath made vain my covenant. That this signifies that he cannot be conjoined, is evident from the signification of a covenant as being conjunction, explained before. Thus, to make the covenant vain is to disjoin himself to such an extent that he cannot be conjoined.